Our scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 5. Listen for God's word. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, we will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
A few times lately, I've been talking to people who are wearing a mask, thinking we've never met before, thinking that I should get to know them, only to have them drop their mask and say to me, "Chip, it's me." It's been so long since I've seen people without a mask that I seem to be losing my ability to recognize people I already know. And if I can't recognize them, I follow up with some wrong questions, thinking I should get to know them rather than asking how they're doing. I'm certainly not opposed to wearing a mask. They're part of our common concern for one another and part of responding together to this public health crisis. But they're also affecting the way I see or don't see people, as the case may be. I'm having to learn how to pay attention to people differently and what helps me recognize them. We're in the season of Epiphany when we remember the many different ways God revealed God's self to us and to the world in Jesus Christ. In a very real sense, we are looking for Jesus and signs of God's presence in the world around us. However, in looking for Jesus, we also become more aware of all the things that get in the way of being able to see him, sort of like those masks that obscure Jesus' face, or allowing us to not pay attention to the world around us. What helps us see, and what gets in the way of our seeing? Like Jesus in our scripture passage today, I love to stand by the shoreline and look around. Last September, my family spent a week at Rehoboth Beach along the Delaware shore. One morning, I got up early, went and stood on the shoreline, and paid attention to the world around me. I noticed the waves crashing and the momentum driving the waves onto the beach. I saw the birds that waited for the waves to recede so they could peck at the wet sand for some food and then run when the waves came crashing towards them again. I saw birds diving into the ocean for food. I watched the ocean liners in the distance carrying passengers and cargo to some distant port. I watched as the sun broke above the horizon, then disappeared behind a line of clouds. And I saw all kinds of people, many walking their dogs, some running, others using the time to talk together. It was a great opportunity to notice the beauty of the place, the people there, and even my own thoughts about what has happened in my life. I imagine Jesus was doing something similar in our scripture passage this morning. He was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret. I imagine him noticing the beauty of that place. I wonder if, at least for the moment, he was taking it all in while thinking about all that had happened to him. His baptism, his time in the wilderness and the temptations he experienced there, the beginning of his public ministry in the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown, where he said that the Spirit had anointed him to bring good news to the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed, and the enslaved. And I'm pretty sure he was thinking about how the people from his hometown drove him out of town and tried to push him off a cliff after he said that. People whose power and privilege come at the expense of the poor and the captive probably called him political. He probably needed a deep breath after that thought. I'm guessing he was remembering the faces of the people he had cured already. The man with the unclean spirit, Peter's mother-in-law, and the many other people with various illnesses, all restored to life and dignity. Standing by the shore was probably an opportunity for Jesus to take a deep breath there in nature and to feel the restoring presence of God with him. It was time for the next phase of his ministry, building a team for all the people that were now pressing in on him to hear the word of God. But for the moment, I imagine he stood there and breathed. After some time, he saw two boats there along the shore of the lake. The owners of the boats were washing out their nets after a long night's fishing. The fishermen would have trolled the nets between the boats in the shallow water on the floor of the lake. The nets would then need to be washed and cleaned out after all the stuff that got caught in them. It was a daily task whether they caught any fish or not, although catching fish would have made that work a little easier. Jesus saw the boats and the fishermen washing their nets, and he had an idea. He got into Simon Peter's boat and asked them to put out a little way from the shore. Jesus wanted to teach from the boat without being smothered by the people who were excited to hear the word of God from him. Simon Peter did as Jesus asked, maybe in the hopes of a tip or some other reward, and then let Jesus do his thing. Up to this point, Simon didn't seem all that engaged in what Jesus was doing or saying. Maybe he was keeping the boat steady, or once the boat was in place, watching the birds fly overhead, or look over the side of the boat and at his reflection and maybe play with the water a little bit. Whatever Simon was doing, he doesn't seem to think something special is happening here, or someone special might be in his boat. He's just sort of helping out in the background with a task. Until Jesus turned to him and said, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." It wasn't a suggestion or a question. It was a direction, an imperative. Peter responded in the way that I admire a fisherman responding. Jesus wasn't a fisherman. He was a carpenter whose tools don't exactly catch fish. He was also apparently a good teacher. Simon Peter was the fisherman. He knew where to fish, and Peter knew that they had already fished all night without catching anything. But to his credit, Peter didn't respond that he knew better than Jesus, or that they had tried what he had suggested already and it didn't work, or that there was no way this was going to work at all. He said instead, "Master, if you say we should try it, we'll try it." So Peter and whichever other fishermen had come with him let down their nets, and they began to catch so many fish that the nets were breaking. They signaled for help, another boat came, and still there were so many fish that the boats were filled to the point that they both could barely float. When Peter saw it all, something in him changed. The same fish that he had once sought for his livelihood became the means by which his eyes were opened, and he saw who it was that was really with him. And he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." This guy in the boat with them was no longer simply Jesus, just a carpenter from Nazareth or an engaging speaker. Peter called him Lord. The word is associated with who Jesus embodied, the presence of God we call Christ. Peter awakened that day to God's presence in his life. He had an epiphany, we might say, without even looking for it. We often say God is present everywhere, but the phrase feels kind of general and vague until you see God for yourself in your own life, until you wake up to God's presence in your midst, however it is revealed, be it through an abundance of fish, or people, or sunrises, or powerful moments before death, in our children, or any of a thousand other ways. The Celts call those places and people thin places, transparent to the holy, mediating divinity in our daily lives. Back at Christmas, we heard the heavenly host of angels sing about the presence of God in the world to the shepherds, but most of the time we are oblivious to that truth. We look at the fish and we only see fish. We look at people and we only see people. We look at life a lot like cleaning our nets. There's work to do, chores to finish, bills to pay, routines to keep, church work to do. But too often we forget that God can reveal God's self to us and come to us as Christ the Lord, the way God did to Peter, and help us see the deeper truth to life. God truly is present. The world is not simply a place to survive, but a place of wonder, hope, love, grace, and even the means through which we know God and hear God call us to follow. The experience so overwhelmed Peter that we even see the insecurity of his life that might keep him from seeing very well. In the presence of such wonder, power, and divinity, Peter realized that he was a sinful man, that he had made mistakes, and that he had convinced himself that what he had done was so bad, at least in his own mind, that he concluded that he didn't deserve God's presence and grace. Jesus saw right through Peter's insecurity and his self-imposed guilt, and with love and grace, included Peter in God's plan. Jesus doesn't call people to follow him because they were perfect first, or successful, or righteous, or whatever other quality we use to exclude some and include others. Instead, he looked at Peter, saw his worth, and said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." The Greek word for catching is what gives us the fullest sense of what happened to Peter that day. It can also mean capture alive or restore to life. Perhaps what happened to Peter that day is that Jesus Christ caught Peter, kept him alive, captured his true goodness and identity, and restored him to life. And Peter finally saw it, woke up to the good news of God's presence in his life and in the world around him, and now saw the fishing, nature, people, God's presence and purpose in a whole new light. He, along with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, partners with Simon, left their boats and their nets and everything else, and they followed Jesus into his big project to restore people to life. In my ministry, over 22 years of ordination, and certainly before that, I have heard a lot of bad ideas about it, what it means to catch people as some kind of metaphor for evangelism. Most of it has something to do with converting people to a certain set of beliefs and hooking them into a certain way of living that somehow creates insiders and outsiders to the faith, decides who's going to heaven and who's not, and who can be loved, and who can't. But what if evangelism, or catching fish, or people, isn't about converting someone to our way of thinking or believing, but rather helping them wake up to their true goodness and identity as beloved children of God? What if catching people is really helping people, the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed, the enslaved, all people experience the restoring, life-giving good news of God's love and grace, hope, and new life? One commentator pointed out that answering those questions doesn't start with doing something. It starts with seeing what God has already given us, to you and to me in our ministry together. In the Gospel of Luke, generosity always precedes discipleship. In our Bible story today, a huge catch of fish, generosity, opened Peter's eyes to who Jesus was and inspired Peter to follow Jesus. God provides, people see God in the abundance, and then follow to restore people to new life. On this annual meeting Sunday, as we lift up and celebrate the many ways we have done ministry and mission together in these challenging times, I'm hoping that we will see God's abundance, not as an end in itself to preserve our church, but as the presence of God with us, calling us to follow Jesus and restore people in all of creation to life. Look at the blessings God has already shown, has showered upon us. See the face of Jesus in the people of this church and our community that we serve. Follow Christ to captivate the world with the good news of God's loving grace, restoring and sharing God's abundance with all the earth. Amen.